Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And I'd like to thank Joan for sharing this morning. I thought I might be walking into a cappella this morning, and it was so great to see you sitting there on the piano. And for also sharing your gifts with us. I think we had a lot of moist eyes this morning, not just you, believe me. That was great. But on this Father's Day, when normally we honor fathers and give them gifts or whatever, we're going to look at something a little bit different. We're going to look at what our Father did for us, our Heavenly Father. John 3:16 reads, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Was that a new verse for anybody out there? Probably not. It's one of the best known, most referenced verses in the Bible. Matter of fact, author Max Lucado actually wrote an entire book on that verse, simply titled 3:16. So this morning, I'd like to spend just a little bit of time on that verse, on our Heavenly Father's gift to us. And it'll probably end up going into another week along the way too, but we're going to get going on it this morning. And I'm going to pull some things out of Max Lucado's book, and I'm going to add some other things also. But we're going to begin by looking at that whole chapter, chapter 3 of John's Gospel, and what leads up to this extremely powerful verse. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify of what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. That I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." A lot of verses. And we're not going to cover all of them because that's a whole nother series. But It's a good intro into the verse we really want to highlight on this morning. What we see here is this teacher, this Jewish teacher of the law, someone who's well-educated and used to probably being in power and control and telling others about religious truths. But this particular man, this Pharisee, Nicodemus, knew something was up with Jesus. And apparently it wasn't a very popular thing because, as we notice, he came at night to see Jesus, to talk to him. He didn't want to do it out in the daylight with all his co-Pharisees watching. So he came at night. And why did he come? Was he curious? Did he have questions for Jesus? Was he concerned about Jesus' credentials? Not really. He said, "I know you're of God." And that kind of set him apart from some of the other leaders who didn't really believe that. He's done his homework. He knows his stuff. And you would think Jesus would be pretty impressed with him. This was the standard Jewish leader of the day. So maybe Nicodemus came thinking that a couple of equals here come together for a little discussion. Nicodemus assumed that Jesus, of course, knew his credentials. So what was Jesus' response to all this? You know, was he honored to have this person here? Was he impressed? Not at all. Jesus cuts to the chase. Verse 3, "I tell you the truth, no one can come to the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Jesus probably knew about Nicodemus. He knew he made good effort. He knew he was sincere. He knew he was a hard worker for his religious group. But in Jesus' world, in our Savior's world, it didn't matter. Now, he was more or less saying, you may be a well-read student. You might be full of good works. But you missed it, Nicodemus. You missed it. And in today's terminology, you might say, that person's clueless. That's really what Jesus was saying. And Nicodemus is sitting there, you know, trying to fathom this born-again business and saying, how is this possible? You know, this is impossible to be born again. Just hanging on to these physical aspects, this whole worldly concept of how things should operate. And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God." And boy, this should perk up everybody's ears that was in the audience. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. Saying it's not based on works, but works done by God. You know, when you think about it, a birth, the person being born doesn't do a lot of the work. They're pretty passive. And that's one thing, you know, Jesus is trying to get out here, you know. You just need to accept it. You accept, in our case, you accept the gift. The Message paraphrase says it like this. Jesus said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, this wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter the kingdom of God." When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see or touch. The spirit. and becomes a living spirit. So don't be so surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. Good old Nicodemus, still struggling. Verse 9, how can this be? Nicodemus asks. By this time, Jesus, just a little frustrated, you know, he says, and this is that, just picking up some pieces from the message, paraphrase. And Jesus said, you're a respected teacher of Israel, and you don't know these basics? Listen carefully. I've witnessed these things firsthand. Yet, instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, you procrastinate with questions. If I tell you things that are plain as the hand before your face and you don't believe me, what use is there in telling you of things you can't see? The things of God. It is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up, and everyone who looks up to him, trusting and expectant, will gain a real life, an eternal life. So that explains it just a little bit better. And all this leads Nicodemus, leads Jesus, leads us to that truth of verse 16. Those 26 words of hope, you know, beginning with God, ending with life, and ending with Jesus urging us to do the same, to get on board. You know, I'm saying, is that so hard? So this is a great place to start if you don't have a clue about the Bible, or if you know everything about the Bible, it's a great place to return. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Who are we talking about here? You know, for God. You know, what do you think about when you think of God? The Jehovah, Yahweh. What comes to mind? All-powerful? Hopefully. The God we know, our Father. The God who gave us this good news of 3:16 controls the entire universe. He's eternal. Psalms 90, verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That's our God. Everlasting to everlasting. Sometimes you just got to sit back and just think about it. You know, the whole concept. Even God's Word, Scripture. You know, Book 1, Genesis, verse 1. You know, in the beginning, God was there. God created the heavens and the earth. What else about our God? Our God is unique. No one else anywhere near our God. Isaiah 46, 9. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I think there's a hymn that has that in it, but we have a very, very unique God. We have a holy God, a God holy, you know, separate. Isaiah 6:3, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And right up to the last book of the Bible, you know, Revelation, prophecy. Revelation 4:8, day and night they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You know, no wonder we struggle sometimes. You know, we have this holy, powerful, eternal God to worship. Why in the world would he be interested in me? You know, this all-powerful, almighty God. But he is. You know, and that's the message. That's the message of 3:16. Our God wants a relationship with us. He wants to free us from our past. He wants to give us a new life. It's a concept that makes us really struggle. That's the God we're talking about in this verse. And this God so loved the world. You know, think of this concept. Why in the world would our God love this world? Look at the shape of our world. Look at our history. Wouldn't you expect a God of anger? Wouldn't you expect punishment on the way? Haven't we been screwing up since the Garden of Eden? Yep, we have. Look at Moses when he climbed the mountain to talk with God. And what did his people do? They built the golden calf to worship. Are we really any better today? Our golden calves might be a little more sophisticated. You know, we've got a lot more options these days. But it's pretty much the same. But in a lot of cases, instead of turning to God, we turn away from him. And the result, you can see the chaos in the world. But John paints a different picture than an angry, mean God. It's not one of a dictator. It's not a tyrant. It's not somebody that just is waiting for us to mess up. This is the world God loves. As John 3:16 says, so God so loved the world. Loved you and me, loved us. This unique, this one-of-a-kind God. The true nature of our God is love. John uses it in his later letters a couple of times with just three simple words. God is love. You know, in 1 John 4. And he loves us. And sometimes we have short memories and we don't remember it. When we look at this verse, it's a good time to remember, yes, God loves us. Look at all he's done for us. We've got to have a longer memory. The last verse I'm going to read this morning is Deuteronomy 10:14. To the Lord your God belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all nations, as it is today. Keep in mind that one word, chose. He chose to love us. So kind of with that foundation set, we're going to continue next time I'm up here and just finish off the rest of that verse and to look at our God. You know, it's a twist to Father's Day. You know, it's our Father's gift to us. So let's pray. Dear Lord, holy, holy, holy. Sometimes your awesomeness just can't be described in words. And sometimes because of that, we don't maybe bother to really think how awesome you are. Or to even think that you chose us. That you'd even care about us, yet you do. And we thank you, Lord, for your promises to us and for making us your children. We thank you for eternal life that you've promised to all who ask. And we just pray, Lord, that in some way we can be worthy. In some way we can show it through our lives that we are thankful for that gift from you. Amen.